It begins with the spine as the body begins to form. During the 8th to the 15th week, the brain is forming and creating all of the connectors it will need for thinking. It is at this time that the spirit of the incoming person starts to take a hand in the formation of this new body. It is the spirit that provides the mapping or information to the DNA on how many brain connectors to create. The spiritual self knows how much accumulated knowledge it will bring into the new body and how many brain connectors it will need to handle the intelligence and aptitudes that will flow in. If you have learned lessons in a particular area in previous lives, the wisdom from those experiences are carried forward into your new life, so you can benefit from them. This is the determining factor in why we all have different intelligence and aptitude. Millions of years ago we all did start off equally ignorant, that is, but as our evolution continues, we all learn different things at different times, so our accumulated wisdom is diversified. So you see, none of us are any better than anyone else, just younger or older. It's like going through school and being in different grades. We all go through the same classes and eventually graduate, we just get there at different times. We judge each other or try to sound like we are better than another to make ourselves feel or appear important. In actuality, we are only younger or older than each other on our own paths of evolution. The accumulated knowledge of our previous lives is stored within our spiritual subconscious and is always available to us if we use it. We also benefit from it another way. Once the brain is formed and the connectors are all functional, the spirit makes a copy of its wisdom and puts it into the acids of our brain for the material body to use. We are also connected to creation through our spiritual GMUT sensor. We have our spiritual subconscious to help guide us. We have our spiritual we form to connect us to the Akashic records of our past thoughts, and we have wisdom from our previous lives in the acids of our brain. All of these connections are there to help us in our new material life. The material for the most part is a product of the DNA of our mother and father, the family genetics. The spirit, though, is reflected across the face. If you could see pictures of your previous lives, you would notice that across the eyes you would look similar. This fascinated me when I first heard it, and I thought how unfortunate that photography has only been around for a short time, otherwise, we could all have pictures of our relatives from hundreds of years ago, and we could see this phenomenon for ourselves. Because of my interest in this, one of the ladies at the center showed me a picture of a Russian woman who lived about 160 years ago and asked me to look at it carefully. I studied the picture for a moment and then glanced back at the lady. It was her. Even though the hair was a different color and the face was a little different, you could see the same eyes, nose, and ears across the face. She had been guided by the Pleiadians to understand this and had found this picture of herself in a previous life. The moment of birth is very important on a Pleiadian world. At the moment that the soft spot on our skull bursts forth and is touched by the air, it is affected by the energies of the universe. Because of this, Pleiadian mothers do their best to let the new person be born when they are ready. The feeling is that the person coming in is on a path of discovery and learning, and they will pick the moment they want to be born in order to line up with the energies that will help them. It's quite possible this is all taken into consideration by creation when the move is made into the womb. Now that we are born and have returned to the material world, we have a new material consciousness with which to experience life. Our subconscious is empty except for the memories of growth in the womb and birth, and our psyche is healthy and clean, with no emotions or feelings of hate, anger, prejudice, or anxiety. We have been at one with creation for some time and have just left a wonderful, restful period. All we have to do now is learn how to think logically and correctly, so we can live to our fullest potential through a long and happy life filled with love. Learning meditation. I was raised in the Episcopal Church in the Midwestern town of Wichita, Kansas, and was considered a Christian, just like everyone else there. It wasn't until I began to travel the world many years after leaving home that I became aware of the many different belief structures and concepts of life that exist on Earth. The concept of meditation was one new idea that I learned to embrace. It has taken on a growing importance in my life. I had meditated before, but what I was learning from Billy was all new to me and took some real brain work for me to understand. The concepts of meditation, concentration prove useful in developing personal control and, most importantly, are a means to access the spiritual power in all of us. I had never been exposed to meditation when I was younger. I was only taught prayer at the church. A whole new world opened up to me when I discovered what can be learned and accomplished through meditation. At the center, Billy has built a meditation room that all of the members of the FIGU use. They have a regular schedule, which they keep on the kitchen wall, so that they can keep track of the time spent in the meditation room each week. Since all of the members were learning and studying spiritual growth themselves, the meditation room was a very busy place. What is meditation? Meditation is mostly associated with Eastern philosophy, since it is practiced so widely there. But it should be made clear that meditation is a form of concentration which leads to control of the mind, and it can be practiced by anyone. It is not necessary to adhere to any mystical philosophy, belief system, or religion to use meditation for your own benefit. Even though its popularity lies in the East, it is rapidly gaining in use in Western society. Increasingly, more people discover the benefits of being able to communicate with the many different levels of consciousness through meditation. It is a method by which we can gain control over our thought processes, develop spiritually, or come in communication with higher life forms such as the Pleiadians. When we come into a new life, our material consciousness is formed along with our body. Our senses of sight, touch, smell, taste, and hearing are developed for information gathering, and we begin to form new thoughts. At this point, our new material subconscious only has the memories of birth, and our psyche is almost devoid of any feelings, emotions, and attitudes. Material emotions and memories are created and collected during the life. They do not exist when we arrive. All that comes with us are the memories and feelings of the spirit. Our thought processes are very simple, for we have no material memories or psychic feelings to create them. It is here that we have the opportunity to learn to think properly so that our life can be lived and experienced to its greatest joy. Most of the worries of the world are caused by illogical thinking. At the time the spirit enters the body and the new life begins, we are healthy in body and spirit. The spirit cannot be illogical or sick, this is strictly a function of the material self. As the body is being formed, its potential can be degenerated during the pregnancy by drugs, alcohol, mental illness, and illogical thinking on the part of the mother. The new material life will already be damaged and cannot live to the fullest ability of the accumulated knowledge gained by the spirit. This can limit intelligence and aptitude and cause birth defects, which will impair the ability to think correctly. If the mother would use meditation during the pregnancy, she could not only communicate with the incoming person, but could control her own thinking and provide for a healthier birth. By controlling our thinking, we control both our physical and mental health, thus providing a good beginning for the new life. By learning meditation, you develop what is called the meditation concentration. This is nothing more than developing the ability to concentrate on a particular object and see it clearly, untainted by feelings, attitudes, memories, and negative and positive thinking, while not allowing any other thoughts to enter your mind. Once this is accomplished, you are in control of your thinking and on the road to developing powerful spiritual abilities as well. There are many ways that meditation can be helpful in your life. The conscious thinking. Most of our entire life is spent in conscious thinking. It is the process of forming a thought from our memories and feelings, which allows us to communicate with ourselves and each other. If we could not think, we could not learn or grow, and would be no different from the animals with which we share the earth. Thought allows us to understand our experiences and gain in wisdom, which leads to spiritual growth. Without thought, we could not function as living beings. Even though thought is so important to us, there is very little training on how to perform it. In school we are told what to think, but not how to do it. There is no education on how to think or how to control the thinking processes. Through meditation we will learn to not only understand what thought is, but how to control it for our benefit. First, there is the conscious mind. Its energy affects the electrical body which charges the chemicals that feed the cells. Negative and positive thinking. As we create the energy of thought, we give these energies a negative, positive, or neutral charge due to our own way of thinking, feeling, and according to our own behavior patterns. Meditation can serve as a means for achieving harmony between the positive and negative and create a state of balance, or neutral thinking. You will also learn to know yourself better and exercise more control over yourself. The spiritual powers. Through meditation, concentration, you can learn to bring forth the spiritual powers of telepathy, telekinesis, and time travel. These abilities are inherent in the spirit and can be made accessible to the material self through meditation, if you are willing to put in the time and effort. Telepathy is the ability for humans to send and receive thoughts using the we-form sense that is in all of us. The material self and the spiritual self both have dissimilar we-forms, which operate differently. Both can be accessed through meditation and can be developed to be useful attributes in our life. You can also learn telekinesis, a method of moving objects without touching them physically, again through the use of pure spiritual powers. For most people, this ability may take years of practice in order to develop the necessary concentration. If practiced every day, the average person may find some success in about 7 years. Meditation can enable you to transfer yourself mentally, visually into the past or future and gain information on various events. These events may be in the past or may be projections of a future that has not yet happened. The ability to develop and use any of your natural spiritual powers lies in the development of meditation as the tool or mechanism by which you gain access to these abilities. All communications of the mind and spirit are made possible through meditation. You will find it necessary to put in a great deal of time and energy into this practice of meditation, concentration, in the material realm as well as in the spiritual realm, if you expect to achieve any kind of results. The concentration. Meditation allows you to see something clearly, observe it clearly and recognize it clearly, without entertaining a thought. First we produce the desire or will to create a meditative concentration, to grasp something or to put something into practice. Then the desire or will must be completely disregarded and put aside so that the concentration can be obtained. This means that in order to obtain a pure, meditative concentration, a reflection in the purest form, a clarity of vision of whatever it happens to be, the will must not be carried into the meditation. When you are ready to meditate, you do not say, "Now, I will concentrate," or "Now, I will meditate," or "Now, I will do this or that." These are the thoughts that form your will to perform meditation and must be set aside, or you will not be able to concentrate in any form. By developing meditation, we learn to direct our senses towards something quite definite, and then we concentrate on it. During this concentration, no other thoughts may be entertained because the concentration may consist only of absolute clarity of vision, or clarity of reflection. This means we must observe the object of our concentration while being completely void of any outside thoughts. Meditation, then, is going to allow us to control our day-to-day thinking and give us access to the powers of our higher spiritual self. Consequently, meditation means this: learning balance, learning clarity of vision and clarity of reflection, acquiring the ability to transmit spiritual consciousness into the spheres of the past and the future, and acquisition of spiritual capabilities such as telepathy, telekinesis, etc. Next, let's discuss the need for meditation, and then, how to perform meditation and what it can do for us. The need for meditation. When we first come into life, our thoughts are very simple. Our conscious mind is functioning well, and all of our senses are working and are trying to interpret the new world we are in. We can see around us, but don't know what we are looking at. We can hear sounds, but have no idea what they are. Touching things is a new discovery, and even the food we eat doesn't seem familiar. The reason everything is so new and unfamiliar is that the material subconscious has very little information in it. We have very few memories yet, and at this point we have no data in our subconscious to flash us those sympathy or antipathy feelings that are used to form thoughts. Remember, our conscious mind creates thoughts by flashing to the subconscious, checking for any available data that we have on the object of which we are forming the thought. Since the subconscious is where we keep our memories and has nothing to flash back yet, our thoughts are very simple indeed. The subconscious deals in visions, not words, and portrays its message in dreams. As we continue to experience the world around us, we begin to build up memories in our subconscious from experience. These are new memories about our mother, our crib, the food we are fed, and the many new sounds we hear. Very slowly we begin to create feelings of happiness as we are fed and taken care of. And, of course, there is the love we feel for our parents. These feelings start to form the emotions that build up in our psyche, which will also become part of our new thoughts. The process of thinking is instinctive, so we don't have to figure it out. The flashing between our conscious and our subconscious is built in and is ready to operate. It only needs data to start building more complex thoughts. As we get older and continue to experience the world around us, our thoughts will increase in complexity. We came into the world happy and full of love, but as we get older and come in contact with a more hostile and unfriendly world, we start to form new emotions to protect ourselves. If we let this process go unchecked, eventually we fill our psyche with feelings of anxiety, fear, hostility, anger, and depression in order to respond to this new environment. These psychic feelings then become part of our thoughts and how we express ourselves. No one comes into the world angry or prejudiced and yelling at those around them. These are acquired responses as a result of life's experiences. Through meditation, we can learn to control incoming data so that when our psyche is forming, we can handle the fear, anger, and hostility that are directed towards us, so negative emotions do not form. As we are confronted with negative elements in society, we can learn to pause during the flashing process that forms our thoughts and use our spiritual self to keep in balance. When we are young, most of us are overwhelmed with childhood experiences that leave very deep emotional scars which affect our thinking as we get older. As we reach maturity, we recognize that we are not in control of our thoughts and go searching for ways to rid ourselves of depression, anger, anxiety, and other negative feelings that rule our lives. We turn to self-help courses of different types, which make an effort to help us overcome our inner feelings and live more balanced life. It would have been better if we had been taught how to think, using meditation when we were young, then, we would not have formed these negative feelings in the first place. Meditation provides us with the inner strength to deal with any situation and remain in a calm and balanced state. Since meditation gives us access to communication between the any areas of the mind, it should be taught to everyone when they are young. After all, thinking controls our life, so why not learn to do it better? If we have already reached adulthood, we can still learn to meditate and repair the damage that has been done. Once we learn to control our thinking and bring our spiritual selves into action, our lives become easier and more productive. How to perform a simple meditation? Before getting any more detailed about what is possible through meditation, let's go through the steps of a simple meditation, concentration, so that we better understand the process and see what is possible. There are many methods of inducing meditation, ranging from focusing on a candle flame or concentrating on a crystal. You may use any method that suits you, but I prefer to develop the meditative concentration using breathing, since our respiration connects us directly to our life energy and gives us a sense of well-being. For best results, this should be done in a sitting position, preferably in the lotus position with legs crossed. This type of sitting position should not be seen as the only method, especially in the Western world, as the lotus position can be very difficult due to lack of practice. You must choose a position that is comfortable so that your attention is not drawn to any bodily discomfort, which will distract you during the meditation. For myself, I use a soft cushion to sit on, since my legs do not fold very well. You do not want to be influenced by outside energies or sound, so try to find the location that is both comfortable and quiet. If you have room in your home, you may want to build a special meditation area where you are comfortable and not bothered by the outside world. Here you can cleanse your surroundings of negative energies and create an environment where you feel comfortable and relaxed. It is also important that you free yourself of all worldly objects like watches, rings, necklaces, earrings, or any other jewelry you may normally wear that affects your personality or thoughts. It is also suggested that no clothing whatsoever be worn, but that, of course, is up to you. The objective here is to put you in the most balanced state possible, so you can bring out the spiritual being that is connected to creation, and leave the material being and all of its feelings, emotions, and personality behind during the concentration. The relaxation. Once we are in a comfortable position, we are ready to relax ourselves. The thinking of the day stores its energy in all of the cells of our body. So we are more affected than others. We can release this buildup of tension by taking 3 deep breaths and releasing them slowly. Deep breathing is very good at releasing energy and bringing the body back to a more relaxed state. The breathing exercise. The breathing exercise is used to familiarize us with the concept of concentration, so we can learn to control our thinking. The objective here is to observe the natural flow of our respiration, while not influencing it in any way. Do not hold your breath or intentionally subject it to any artificial rhythm. The object here is to follow the breathing procedure calmly and carefully during the exercise. Close your eyes and focus your attention on the sides of your nostrils, and begin to observe your breath as it moves in and out of your nasal passage. Try to keep in a state of observation and do not become involved in the rhythm of your breath. If you catch yourself affecting the flow of your breath, causing it to speed up or slow down, just relax and become the observer, not the controller. You will probably make an effort to control your breath and may cause it to go even more out of control. Simply relax and let your breath find its own pace, and remember, you have been breathing for years without any help from your conscious mind. Simply become the observer and make no attempt to regulate the flow of your breath. Observation means that you are not influencing the breath in any way with any of your material senses or thoughts, you are only observing it. Observe your breath as it flows up the side of your nostrils and disappears at the top of your nose. Do not follow it. This would take your attention away from your observation spot. The inhaling and exhaling usually becomes noticeable as a cool stream of air that keeps moving. Even if your observation is strictly concentrated on the fixed point of the sides of the nose, nostrils, a peripheral awareness of the course of the breath through the body is produced, arising from the slight pressure of the air we breathe. No further consideration should be given to it. As your concentration continues, you will begin to notice exactly where the breath enters the nostrils, where it starts to flow up the sides of the nostrils, and where it disappears. These are 3 spots mark the beginning, middle, and end of the breath, and they become clearer and clearer as the concentration continues. Awareness of your body. If you become very uncomfortable during this exercise, you will not be able to continue and may have to start over. However, if you only become aware of your body, you should simply treat this awareness as an observation which has disturbed the tranquil harmony of the concentration. Simply visualize that the respiration exists, completely independent of the intention of the meditation exercise, and discard the awareness of your body. Unwanted thoughts. As you continue to observe your breath, it is only natural that unwanted thoughts come into your mind. Since we are not trained in controlling our thinking, our mind is used to racing from one thought to another anytime it wishes. By developing concentration, the ability to focus on only one object at a time, we are serving notice to our material consciousness that we are taking charge of our thinking. This will be something new for most of us, and it will require some time to become successful. As unwanted thoughts jump into your mind, you must order them to disappear and return to your observation mode. It is a good idea before starting this exercise to tell your conscious self that you intend to concentrate now, and not to bother you with any thoughts. Tell yourself to hold all thoughts until you are through with your meditation, and that you will instruct it when you are ready to continue normal thinking. If you can concentrate for 1 minute without another thought coming into your mind, you will have dramatically changed your life. Our mind is used to manufacturing ideas and images for us all of the time, conforming to the internal wish list provided by our ego and other emotions. If we do not take control of our thinking, our mind will continue to make up all sorts of images while we are trying to concentrate. Learning to concentrate will help us begin to take control of our thinking processes, but we must be careful to be honest with ourselves and not allow our ego to manufacture unwanted thoughts and images. Continued observation. Continue your observation until a deep feeling of well-being and relaxation is obtained. Allow yourself some time to benefit from the enjoyable state of mind. Relish the moment and become familiar with the location in your mind that has produced this moment, for you will want to return here often. The most important objective during this exercise is to learn to concentrate on any one object for a period of time and keep out unwanted thoughts. Just this simple exercise can begin to restore power to your thinking. By developing the power to concentrate on a single object in meditation, you are learning how to control your thinking, and you can apply this to normal life by being more productive and less influenced by the outside environment. Continue this exercise daily until you can concentrate on a single object without any unwanted thoughts for 1 minute. This may not seem like much, but most people will find it harder than they expect it to be. Summary of exercise. This is a very simple exercise that you can practice any time of day, wherever you are. It's very good to use in a tense or stressful situation to help calm yourself down. I would suggest that you practice the exercise every day before you have lunch. This will serve to compose you from the hectic thoughts of your workday, making your lunch more enjoyable. It also allows you to work the concepts of relaxation, concentration, and thought control into your everyday life. The uses of meditation. Through continued use of meditation, we can learn to control our conscious mind by pausing during the flashing process of thought formation, and allowing our spiritual self to give us advice. We can also learn to program our subconscious to perform work for us while we sleep, for example, in order to lose weight or stop smoking. Emotions that are causing us problems in life can be reprogrammed by creating new experiences that come to happier conclusions. All levels of our mind can be controlled and addressed through meditation. It is this simple exercise that puts us on the road to controlling the communication of all levels of our mind. Turning off the force of your material thoughts allows the force of your spirit to come forward. Meditation is also the first step towards controlling our material mind and letting the power of our spirit come forward. The ability to call forth our spiritual self and make use of our spiritual powers rests in the ability to turn off our material mind and allow our spiritual self to come through. Our spiritual self is always there, listening to all that we do, and never sleeps. Most of us never consider that we can call forward our spirit to offer an opinion, to give advice, or to teach us something about ourselves and our previous existences. And seldom does anyone ever consider using their spiritual self to contact other life forms. However, all of these things are possible through the continued development of meditation. Pausing. As the Pleiadians listen to our thoughts and analyze how we think, it has become apparent to them that we need to learn some simple techniques of controlling our thinking that can be used in everyday life. One of these simple techniques is called the pause. Most of the problems in the world are not caused by disease or wars, but by our thoughts. How often have we spoken too quickly and said something that we regret, only to ruin a deal or a friendship? When we feel depressed or angry, it is our thoughts that control us. If we could learn to pause as our thoughts are being formed or as our emotions are taking control of us, we could be in control of how we feel. Training ourselves to pause before we speak, to consider just for that one quick moment what we are about to say, can save a lot of misery in the world. The pause can be exercised as our minds are flashing between the conscious and the subconscious and adding feelings from the psyche. As thoughts are formed very quickly, we must train ourselves to interact in this process by pausing, either as the thought is being formed or before we speak. As an example, let's say that your boss has just called you into his office about your work.